Thanks, Jesus. Thanks, Father. If you have your Bible with you, go to John 14 with me, if you will. We're going to talk about something this morning, okay? I ran it by Pastor yesterday. He's a good leader because he didn't take nothing for granted. He said, well, exactly what do you believe about that? And exactly what are you going to say? See, that's protective. It's not religious, it's protective. He's a good leader. Because this topic I'm going to talk about, there's a lot of controversy over. And there's a lot of little monkey wrenches that have been thrown into the whole message of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit in our communion with Him. So I want to talk to you scripturally and just show you how scriptural it is, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and exactly what it is. And then we're going to pray for folks here in a little while, and it's just going to be a fun time. And it amazes me that every vital thing in the gospel, every vital aspect about the gospel, like water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, things that are vital, that carry a lot of weight, they're the things we ourselves, the church, have fought over the most and divided ourselves over. The very important hot topics, the things that matter so much. It's kind of like you don't counterfeit $1 bills. You go after the big stuff. And you might not have the background in Christianity to know, but some of these topics have been drag-out fights in the church, unfortunately, and a lot of disagreement on doctrines and things like that. And let me just encourage you while I'm saying that is, don't ever get caught debating doctrine with people. If your debate and your argument isn't produced, the topic you're talking about, if it isn't producing life in you, it's not worth talking about. Get a grip and produce life. You're not trying to be right. You want to live in righteousness. So what's it matter if you debate over a topic and you're scripturally correct if the love of God's not in your heart? What's it matter if you're debating over a topic and you're actually mad and angry with the person you're debating with? We probably need to get on another topic called the love of God. Are you guys following me? I've just seen us get distracted with theology so bad that we fight ourselves over things to try to prove each other right/wrong and miss the whole point of God's heart towards one another. So please don't ever get caught in that in your life, okay? Don't ever fuel that. Don't ever feed that. Like, I'm in a place in my life, it would be very hard to pull me into a debate because of what I see. I've had people want to debate me. They come and they are on a thing because I'm a preacher and they challenge something you're saying and they have all their preparation and background. But it's not that they care about me. It's not that they care about what I'm really saying and how it might be hurting or affecting me. They just care about being right, proven wrong, and you can perceive it. Don't ever get caught in that. I don't know why I'm saying that so strong right now, but don't ever get caught in that. It's a zero. Okay? Okay, enough said on that. I'm moving on now. I hope you all got that. John 14, this is amazing. I'm going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I came baptizing in water, but he that's coming will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. That's a good thing. You want Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. If you study how fire, you can do a whole teaching on fire. Fire is a good thing. Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you. The word baptize means to be dipped into, immersed into, to be made one with. You know how the Bible says we're baptized into Christ? So you take a can of white paint, kick off the ends, and run a stick through the paint. When you pull the stick out of the other side of the paint, the stick's just been baptized into the paint. So say the paint is shiny white. So you run the stick through the paint, and you pull it through, the stick's been baptized in the paint. The stick's still there, but what you see is the paint. So the paint and the stick become one. The stick was just baptized into the paint. If you dip an Oreo in the milk, the two become one. Amen? You've baptized the cookie into the milk. You've dipped it into and it's become one. It's a simple principle. You understand? You use those analogies. Now you see, we've been immersed in Christ, dipped into and baptized into Christ. We get baptized and immersed into the person of the Holy Spirit and endued with power. So He comes and He lives in us and dwells among us. So He's in me and He flows through me. He's in you and He flows through you. It's different than your born-again experience. And I'm going to make it very clear because people say, well, you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again. I'll show you very clear in Scripture that you get a regenerated living spirit when you're born again. It's called a well springing up, John chapter 4, into everlasting life. If you go three chapters later, he talks about the Holy Spirit that's coming. He's a river flowing out of your belly. Salvation is a well springing up. It's a well springing up into everlasting life. John 4, this he spake of salvation to the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. He said, if you'd drink of me, he said, if you ask me for a drink, I'll give you a drink. You'll never thirst again. In fact, I'll become in you a well springing up into everlasting life. What's he talking about? Your born again experience. Getting fulfilled in Christ and coming alive in him. A well springing up. Three chapters later in John 7, he said, if you believe in me, as the scriptures say, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That sounds different than a well springing up. A river flowing out of me is different than a well springing up. It says, this he spake of the Spirit who had not yet come because he had not yet been glorified. He's talking about two separate things, John 4 and John 7. I'm covering time. You write it down. You can check it out. I just quoted it verbatim. That's how it reads in your Bible. This he spake of the Spirit. River flowing out. Amen? Who had not been poured out yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Are we all on a good track? In John 14 is where you see Jesus begin to talk of this wonderful person, Holy Spirit. He's not an it. He's not a wind. He's not a goosebump. He's not a feeling. Now, he can manifest in a lot of ways, and there's the ministration of the Spirit, which is a very broad topic. Those heat things people were talking about last night, those tingles, he's responsible. But the tingle isn't the Holy Spirit. It's just something he does. It's a ministration of the Spirit, okay? The heat you feel, it's not the person of the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation, ministration of the Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit, he's a person. He's Holy Spirit. And he's just like you and me in the sense of he's a person. God, the Holy Spirit. So you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. People get technical. They say, well, you should never talk to the Father. To Jesus, you just pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Well, that's if you're praying for something, it's legal. It's like a light when you turn on a light switch, okay? God the Father is the power company. He's sitting there. It's like a light switch. He's the power company. Jesus is the switch to the power company. When you flip the switch, the power that flows through the line is the Holy Spirit that makes it come. That's a good analogy. Father's the power company. Jesus flips on the switch and makes the power possible. Holy Spirit brings it. Did you get it? It's just a good picture of the Godhead. Man, I feel that. That's fun. He liked that. The Lord's pleased with that. That's cool. That just touched me right there. I know I'm getting a little weird right now, but that was fun. That was a good description of God the Father. See, people get technical, they get theological, and they're like, oh, you're praying wrong. Well, you shouldn't talk to Jesus. You don't talk to the Holy Spirit. That is not scriptural. He's going to speak to you. Why wouldn't you speak back? If you ignore somebody, that's pretty weird. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He's going to speak that which he hears. I'm going to show you that. Jesus is introducing you to relationship with Holy Spirit because he's going to the Father. And he said, it wouldn't be expedient for me to stay and not go, because if I didn't go, he wouldn't come. But if I go, he will come. Why is that important, and why is that more powerful and expedient? Because when Jesus was here in person, you had to throng him and get where he is. When he goes and sends the person of Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, he lives in as many as would believe. So God just multiplied himself through as many as would believe through the person of Holy Spirit. So it's more expedient that he would go because he would come. Everybody says, boy, the days that Jesus, I wish I was here, I wish Jesus was here. He's here in the person of Holy Spirit. Corinthians says that the Lord is the Spirit. Well, I thought Jesus was the Lord. He is, and it's the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit's the Spirit of the Lord. So the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So this thing isn't confusing. He's all one. How can he be one? Because you can't separate him from will, intent, and love, and purpose. He's one. You get it? So the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know, it's not like Holy Spirit's in a room and the devil says, oh, it's just you. I thought you were Jesus. He ain't messing with Holy Ghost, Mark. See, because the Holy Ghost went into the realm of the dead, one Spirit, Holy Spirit, lit up the realm of darkness and lifted up the Savior and said, you're coming with me. And there was nothing hell could do about it, man. They couldn't come around the back. They couldn't cut off the side door. And he didn't have to get on a radio and radio in Michael and Gabriel from the wings. One Spirit went in to the realm of the dead and said, I'm taking out the Son. And through, according to the Spirit of holiness, he raised Jesus from the dead. He said, you're coming with me. And there wasn't nothing darkness could do about it. Why? Light is greater than darkness. So, you know, according to human terms, Holy Spirit is one bad dude, man. You don't mess with him. I'm serious. He's amazing. So it's not like they're different. They're one. But they have different functions. The love of the Father introduced us to the grace through Jesus that introduced us to communion and fellowship with Holy Spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 13. In fact, look there real quick before, and then hold your place at John 14. Look at 2 Corinthians 13 real quick. I want you to show you something. Verse 14. For 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, that's koinonia, the fellowship and intimacy of the person of Holy Spirit be with who? Everybody. So he's inviting you into a relationship with the person of Holy Spirit. The communion is an intimate word. It's a word that means koinonia. It's fellowship, co-union, communion. Okay? So people say, well, yeah, but the Holy Spirit just, he's the power and construction worker of God, and you don't talk to him, you don't pray to him, you pray to God in Jesus' name. And people get technical in this intimacy relationship. I talk to the Father, I talk to Jesus, and I talk to Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'm driving and I'm saying, Father, thank you. Thanks for fathering me. Thank you for never losing sight of who I am. Sometimes I say, Jesus, you're so amazing. You've modeled life for me. You've come and showed me what life looks like, and thank you for letting me follow you. Holy Spirit, thank you. You empowered me to do that very thing. And you're the wisdom of God in my life, and that wisdom's unsearchable. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing Christ to me, showing me things to come, and making the kingdom possible through my life. I so appreciate you. All those points of contact are healthy and amazing and life-changing. When you get technical and critical, well, I don't know, you get dry and bitter, and you go to church and have no God revelation or testimony. I'm sorry, it's just true. Don't let your bones get rigid in the Spirit. Amen. Stay alive in Jesus, all right? So I know that sounds a little harsh, but I'm telling you, the people that argue theology have very little Christian testimony. They just have lots of Bible knowledge that's not producing life. I've noticed that. People that argue healing have no testimony of healing, so their lack of experience justifies their doctrine. Blech. Yeah. Try to sell Jesus that theology after his life and resume. You see what I'm saying? So we just got to be careful over this stuff, man. Here's the deal. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God. Here's what he wants you to see. He wants you to see that the grace that we receive through Jesus and the fact that Christ gives gifts to men is because God the Father loves us. And that love and that grace has opened the door for co-union with the Holy Spirit. Do you see that in Scripture? If you look at Philippians 2, you'll find that if there's any mercy, any consolation in Christ, any bowels of mercy, any fellowship with Holy Spirit, make my joy complete and walk in one mind and one spirit, one thing. How can we all walk in one mind, one spirit, and one faith when there's such a diversity in this room of flavors, appetites, desires, callings, gifting? How can we possibly walk as one and walk in unity when there's such a diversity of grace and calling on our life? Some people don't understand that unity and uniformity are two different things. Hitler tried uniformity. That's a bad idea. It's everybody being the same, liking the same. No, there's people in this room that like it fast, like it slow, like it loud, like it soft. There's so much diversity in so many ways in this room, and yet God says to live as one. How's that possible? We all realize we're on the planet for the same reason, His image, and we all wake up to love. Whether I'm called to missions, whether I'm called to lead a life changers group, whether I'm called to pastor, whether I'm called to the homeless, the elderly, or just children are burning in my heart. We all do the same thing, or the things we do for the same reason. His image, His love, that's what makes us one. It's called the unity of faith. We all realize who we've become now that He came. And we all live from that place in our respective calling. Make sense? And everybody's as valuable as another. There's no hot shots. There's no low lives. There's no high significant, insignificant. Every mountain's brought down. Every valley's lifted up. Get it? And we're all in the same playing field of righteousness. Come on, the same price tag's on everyone in this room. You must all have the same value. Yeah, but he gets to this. No. The Bible says some of these members that seem less honorable, in many cases, are the most significant. It's that behind-the-scenes thing that people don't see. Things wouldn't run if that thing wasn't there in place. You go ahead and lose your big toe and tell me how well you're going to walk. You lose a big toe and tell me how well you sprint. You'd be amazed what it would take for you to learn how to walk without a big toe. And you'd never walk like the same. Unless Jesus grow that thing back. See, but a big toe doesn't seem too significant. And that nail looks nasty sometimes. It just looks pudgy. And my big toe's fat and ugly. No, your big toe is vital and important. It helps you walk down the street. God made you that way. And without it, something would be sorely missing. So a big toe is far from it. You guys following me? Okay. So I just showed you two places, 2 Corinthians 13 and Philippians 2. Out of the mouths of two or more, every word is confirmed and established. Is it written in the Bible that we're to have communion and communion with the Holy Spirit? Is it? Good. John 14. It's a teaching morning, a little different than machine gunning you the last couple days. I machine gunned you enough. I hit everything in the room. So now we're on a topic. We're just going to talk about something, get something established. Amen? Verse 15. This is awesome. This isn't a challenge. You got to hear what he's saying. He says, if you love me, keep my commandment. He's not saying, if you love me, do what I say to do. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What he's saying is, man, if you love me, you're going to walk in me. You're going to keep my commandments. If you love me, the evidence of loving me is doing what I say to do. That's your love for me. Why wouldn't you if you love him, right? It's not a challenge. He's not putting you into works. He's not throwing you into works. He's not saying, if you love me, prove it. Then if you love me, just keep doing what I'm saying. That's your love. Amen? And I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper. So if Jesus prays, that's pretty encouraging, because I bet you God hears Him. He said, the Father always hears me, because I always do what He asks me to do. Right? He says, me and the Father are one. And the Pharisees would be like, you know, it was just amazing. So I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper. That word another, it's allos in the Greek. In the original Greek that this is written in, the word another means allos, and here's what it means. The same kind as. What's another mean? You know? I got a watch. Oh, wow, I got another watch. Wow, I got three watches. You know, another. It's the same. It's like. It's the same kind of as, but allos brings out a little different, because you could have two persons and say, I have another purse, but one's black and one's red. But the word allos means the same kind of as. Here's what Jesus is saying. I'm leaving, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to pray, and He's going to send one that would do in my absence what I'd do if I was here. He's going to send one just like me. Did you get it? It's really good. Now watch. That He may abide with you, what? Forever. So we don't step in and out of God. We're not just looking for God encounters. Remember that concubine thing, ladies? We're not looking for an experience with the King now and then. We're not waiting for him to call our name into the chamber. And all of a sudden we have this night of emotional, wow, God. And then for 4 months we're trying to live off of the wave of that. Not looking for experiences in God that just take us from week through week through week. Experiences with God are awesome if they grow you in relationship with God. But if you're just going to altars to get touched by God, you might find yourself in a real rut spiritually, and you're just going for affirmation, reaffirmation. You just, as long as you get touched, wow, he must still be, wow, he's still for me, wow. It's a very dangerous place to live. You don't go to the altar to be touched by God. You get touched by God where you are, wherever you are. You see what I'm saying? So, he's going to abide with you what? Forever. Look who he is in verse 17. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Come on, this is intimate. He's with me and he's in me. Isn't that awesome? So he wants to live inside of me. It's the way it was from the beginning. Yeah. Look at verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know how people say, boy, I don't know how I'm going to remember all this. Or I don't understand this. Or I don't read my Bible because it's hard to understand. That's why we have the person of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will help you understand if you begin to commune with him, talk to him, and ask him to help you. Ask and it shall be. You have not because you. So when people are taught that Holy Spirit is some supernatural, mysterious force out there and he's not a person and he's not in you and they don't teach him personal, you won't ask him. You have not because you. So now you're analytically, intellectually frustrated because the facts are you read, don't comprehend. You read, don't retain. That's why he's with you, so those things change. So it's as simple as this. Let me give you an illustration. You're in your bedroom, and you're laying down in your bed, and you take your Bible, and you say, Holy Spirit, you're amazing. You wrote this book through men. You gave them revelation. You penned it right through their hand. You're unsearchable wisdom, and you live in me, and you're for me, and you're not against me, and you are my friend. And Jesus called me his friend in John 15, so I know we're friends. Thank you for showing me truth. You're the Spirit of truth. There's nothing limited to you. You know all things. Thank you for putting those things inside my understanding. And when I read, I thank you that my heart comes alive and my eyes surely see. I am so done being frustrated and toiling in the flesh because I can live by the Spirit. And it's you, my best friend. Thank you for bringing all these things to my remembrance. And thank you that I'll never lack in anything because you love me. You do that. And you stay in that place of relationship in your life, and you keep growing in that, and you start reading your Bible, I'm telling you, things will come off the page, and you'll go, wow, I bet that was always there. Yeah? Or you're just going to study and study and study, and you'll think your study is what made you. No, it's your relationship, your communion, and your faith in him that'll change your life. I'm not saying study's wrong, but who knows, you could study in the flesh. You can study in the flesh and gain accolade, or you can live in the Spirit, yet understand. Did you get that? Yeah. Okay. Come on, I'm teaching. I'm doing a little different than I normally do, but I don't mind teaching like this. But the Helper, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you how many things? So don't believe you're limited. Believe all things is all things. That you'll lack no good thing and talk to him about that and desire that. That's why these two songs were so huge this morning. Because that's what these two songs were asking for. Both these songs in a row, right in a row. We're wanting you more, want to know you more, want to have more of you. Man, we love you. Thanks for loving us. We want you more. Right? What's he going to do? He's going to reveal to you what? All things. So you're not limited. Don't believe you're limited. When you believe you're limited, you're falling into deception. Holy Spirit will give you all things. If you seek him, if you draw near to him, he will. Is that a promise? Don't look for feelings. Don't look for thunderbolts. And don't look for majestic voices. Look for a heart knowing. Man, if you can believe, if you start believing, if you just look and you start realizing, I'm loved by God. Not because he's waving over you. Everybody wants the Well, what happens when you don't feel the, ooh? Well, then you start believing, maybe he doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I stepped out of him. Maybe he's not near. And then you live in insecurity and inconsistency. The greatest power is that God gave us the gift of faith and he allows us to believe, because nothing can change that. Come on. My greatest strength is believing he loves me, not feeling he loves me. Because if I believe he loves me, I'm in. If I have to feel it, then I have to live from feeling to feeling. And then God's mandated to always tickle me and touch me and rub my hair. But if he could just put in my heart the knowing of his love, I'm rock solid. Are you following me? Come on, your greatest blessing is the privilege to believe that God would give men the measure of faith. I believe. Watch this. When you believe he loves you, he can steward you, give you a stewardship and entrust you with manifestations of that love and time. Because you believe before you feel it. So many people, one lady came to me in Oklahoma. She said, I've been to every ministry out there and I've had man after man lay hands on me and I have never felt the love of God. I see his love in you. You understand his love. Pray for me so I feel good. Most ministers would go, absolutely, Father, I just say. I said, honey, I am not doing you that injustice. No, I'm not praying. She got so mad at me. Oh, she did. And I said, honey, stop getting frustrated and mad. That's the reason you're not feeling God's love. You're living in yourself. You're living in willfulness. You're living in deceit, sweetie. You're putting this expectation on me, and I'm supposed to touch you, and you feel all bubbly and gushy and fuzzy. Honey, how's that going to change your life? I said, no, repent right now and get this frustration out of your heart. Get alone with God and sit in your bed and say, you know what? You do love me. I've been chasing the wind. You do love me because Christ is crucified. Nobody will ever change my mind again. The measuring stick of Christ crucified, the measuring stick of your love for me is Christ crucified. It's settled forever in my soul. And nobody in the room, honey, lift your hands and thank him. He loves you because the greatest gift you can receive is knowing that in your heart, not feeling that. And most ministers, I got a lot of friends that wouldn't agree with what I just said. They say, oh, Dan, you need to just touch her and let God wreck her. No, because I need to teach her to stop living sensual because she's a sitting duck and the devil will abuse her down the road. You're not called to live sensual. You don't have to feel a thing. People say, wait on the anointing to pray for the sick. It's wrong teaching. When aren't you anointed? When isn't he with you? He'll be in you and with you forever. When am I not qualified to lay hands on the sick? When is the anointing not ready to destroy the yoke? Why do I have to stir it up and encourage it? No, we're just encouraging ourselves and teaching ourselves to live sensual and waiting for a feeling to have faith. That's not true. Yeah, come on, I'm getting on some topics here, but I got to get back to Holy Ghost. But are you getting something out of it? He'll teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. So you have to trust that and believe that. I believe that for names, for people. This couple that came from the Power and Love, they said, I just can't believe you remember these details. Because they told me the Power and Love they were at. I've been at 40 Power and Love. And I said, yeah, that's where that lady, that man that was going to commit suicide, we baptized him during the service. And that lady, and they went, I can't believe you remember all those details. I'm like, are you kidding me? Holy Spirit brings them to my remembrance. I remembered them. I said, where did I meet you? I met you guys. They said, yeah, the Power and Love. Just one time we were on the front row. I said, yeah, I know I met you guys. I can't believe you remember us. Are you kidding? God knows them. I asked that about names and everything. I have had people get wrecked. They say, I can't believe you knew my name. I said, well, I cheated. I really didn't. I just looked inside and heard it because he knows you and I knew I met you and I wished I'd have remembered it, but he told me, he whispered it. I did that to a lady. Her name was Marilyn. That's not common. And she said, remember 2 years ago, we're here, you probably would never remember that. And I said, I do remember that. Your husband got healed of cancer. You actually sent me a little note. She said, oh my goodness, you remember that? That was 2 years ago. You've probably met thousands of people. I said, I have, but I remember that. And she said, well, you don't remember our names. And I said, well, and I thought, oh, and I scrambled a little. I'm like, oh, I don't remember her name at all. And in my heart, I said, Lord, you know her. And he said, Marilyn. I said, your name's Marilyn. She said, oh my goodness, how can you remember her name? I said, I cheat. Why? Because he'll bring things to your remembrance. Did I know her name once? Did 2 years cause me to forget it because I met thousands of people? But am I limited? Holy Spirit just said, he brought it to my remembrance. It was important to her. It meant something to her, so he was obliged and privileged to just whisper it to me. It really blessed her. You know what I mean? That's how God is. He loves people. Ah. Okay. Look at John 15. John 15, verse 26. But when the helper, do you see who he is? He's the helper. Oh my goodness. You know what the word helper means? It means to stand beside. He's called to one side. The word signifies, I'm reading it right out of my Bible, the Strong's definition. The word signifies an intercessor, a comforter, a helper, an advocate, a counselor. Wow. Yeah. You're amazing. But when the helper comes, who I shall send to you. It sounds like he's a promise, huh? From the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So he's going to bear witness of Jesus. He's going to testify of Jesus to you, to your own heart, to your own understanding, and to others. So a good way to get to know the revelation of Jesus more is talk to Holy Spirit about it and let him know you're hungry. Holy Spirit, thank you for keep revealing the heart of God to me. Thank you for revealing the gospel to me, the finished work of Christ, the power of the cross. God, when I read about the blood, let the blood speak to my heart and let me see everything that has been hidden seemingly in the wisdom of God and let it no longer be a mystery to my heart. Holy Spirit, thank you for testifying of Jesus to me and revealing the power of the living Christ to my understanding. I've learned that a lot of people aren't even thinking about praying that way and talking that way to the Lord, let alone doing. A lot of people have never even known they can. But you can. Communion. You got it? Okay, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He's coming, see? I will. And when he has come, he will convict the world. The word convict means convince, to shine light upon. Convict and convince are really like the same word there. Convict or convince the world of sin. That means he'll put a conviction in the heart of sin. And of right. And why does that happen? Because of light. It's because of light. It's not because you call somebody a sinner. Because light shines. And light exposes darkness. Yeah? Isn't that awesome? So if you're just working and you have a job and you have coworkers, nobody's saved. Don't get burdened by that and say, oh man, I hate this place. This wears me down. By the end of the day, I feel so defiled. No, that's just a sign it's time to grow up in the Lord and stop looking for a new job. Because I won't pray for you for a new job. I will pray God balls and chains you there till you get a revelation. Because if every Christian leaves the dark atmosphere, then we're all huddled in the light somewhere. It's one of the biggest prayer requests when you're a pastor. Pray for me to get a new job. I'm just so tired of working there. It just degrades me. And by the end of the day, I just feel so wore out because I hear the F word all the time. Well, God's, he's everywhere. He ain't freaked out. I've prayed for people in parking lots and they say, you've got to be bleeping kidding me. How in the bleep can I be healed? And Holy Spirit didn't go, ah! Come on. You know, you pray for a man going down the street. True testimony. What's going on, man? Oh, man, I tore my ACL. It's so blanking and it hurts so much. And they want to do this surgery, but I don't want no blanking surgery, man. And I said, listen, man, let's just pray for you. What? It's all right, man. Let's just pray. Can we just pray? You know, check your knee. What the blank? Now, how in the blank? What in the blankety blank? I'm not kidding. I've never seen a man go like this. You know, in Jesus' name, be healed. Wow. You got to be blanking. Oh. I had never seen that. You know, wow. I can walk. What in the blank did you... Whoa. He don't know any better, Mark, right? He don't know any better. God's bigger than his bleep. Let me ask you this. Does God know everything? Was God shocked when he bleeped? So he knew it was coming. and he was healed anyway. Oops. This gospel's so rock solid, man. It's just religious folks. You know, you say, well, you know, God won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. They need to get this. They need to clean up. And I know God won't touch. No, you just wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. God's waiting to through you. But you won't look at them with his eyes. Yeah. Ooh, that was good, Dan. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Look at verse 13. However, do you see Jesus has a lot to say about Holy Spirit? However, when he's a person. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority. Listen, he's speaking to us. People say, you hear voices? Yeah, everybody does. My buddy Todd, he was trying to get his realtor license years ago, and he's preaching Jesus all the time, and he's going through the realtor school, and he has to take his test, and he's praying for the sick, and he's saying, I heard this, and I heard that. And the Realtor Association, however it works, whatever title they have to give licenses, we're afraid to give him a license. They said, we're concerned about you. Would you do a psychoanalysis and go to a psychologist to make sure you're sound before we issue the license? Because you passed the information. We're just not sure how stable you are because you're always saying you're hearing the voices. Or you're hearing this, that. They were just turning his own. So they send him to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist is talking to Todd. And Todd's like, he says, explain to me, you know. And he said, well, you know, I just hear it in my... And he said, so you hear voice? He looked over and said, so you hear voice? The psychiatrist said it to Todd. Todd's awesome. Todd said, well, of course, and so do you. You hear your own, the voice of your own conscience. You can hear the voice of the enemy. You can hear the voice of God. There's a lot of voices. My sheep hear my voice. And strangers, they won't follow. There's a lot of voices out there, pal. You hear them just like I do. He said, I've just learned to discern the right ones. No, in fact, I'm hearing a voice right now. And you have a ruptured disc in the middle of your back, and it's causing you trouble, and you're starting to get sciatic pain in your leg, and I need to pray for you. And he's so startled, and he said, well, no, no, no. He said, come on, man, you got it going on, because I know when I hear his voice. And he said, the guy backed out and said, no, no, I don't have that problem, and I don't need you to pray for me. He said, oh, but you do have that problem, and I do need to pray for you. And he pushed him. He knew he heard. And this guy shook now because he's not the counselor anymore. He's getting counseled. He did the rest of his questions and he wrote out a thing to the board of whatever that gives the license and said there's absolutely nothing wrong with this man. He's sound and he's et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Isn't that awesome? But people think, oh, you hear voices? Yeah, everybody does. You hear your own thoughts. Sometimes your own conscience is speaking, your own memory. Sometimes there's the voice of a stranger. Sometimes there's the voice of God. We need to discern. Here's the importance of knowing you're his. Ladies, knowing you're his. Because my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's they won't. So when you know you're his sheep, you know his voice. When you're not sure you're his sheep, a stranger's voice starts sounding rational. You start to hate. But when you know you're his, a stranger's voice sounds strange. So identity is a big deal. Knowing who you are is you, because if you know you're the Father's, you'll recognize his voice. When you struggle with your identity, a stranger's voice slips in and sounds rational and reasonable, and you self-cheat by him. So why wouldn't you follow a stranger's voice? Because it sounds strange. Why? Because I'm his sheep. So just be a good sheep. If you got a bah every morning just to keep yourself, just get up and bah, just to remind yourself. Just put it on the mirror, bah. And everybody will think you're nuts, but you're his. You know, bah. No, I'm just kidding. But you're his sheep. You'll hear his voice. Strangers you won't follow. Sounds like a good day to me. So there's a lot of voices, right? Shepherds, strangers, voice of your own conscience, right? However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So I want to stay close to him. He's the guy. We're going down the trail in the dark jungle like the world. He's got light on the trail, and he's the guide. You want to stay close. Right? He's guiding you through. He will not speak on his own authority. That means I'm expecting to hear him talk to me and reveal things to me. But whatever he hears, that he will speak. Fascinates me, this language, and theologians will say that God doesn't talk to death. When Jesus said, Holy Spirit will speak. Jesus, who's Lord, red letters said he will speak. So I guess he is talking, isn't he? And he will tell you things to come. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So that's how you understand covenant. And that's how you understand through the person of Holy Spirit. So in John 20, just go to John 20 since we're right there. This is one of my favorite places to preach out of, so I have to behave and just preach what's necessary here. But in John 20, Jesus just raised from the dead, okay? And when he showed him his hands and his feet, and the disciples were glad, in verse 21, Jesus said, peace to you, as the Father sent me, I also send you. That's pretty heavy. And when he said this, he what? He breathed on them and he said to them what? Receive Holy Spirit. So people say, okay, they received Holy Spirit. What just happened there when he said receive Holy Spirit? We can see clearly in the Word, because on Luke 24, he said, go tarry in the city till the promise of the Father comes. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wait a minute. I thought you just told us to receive the Holy Spirit. I thought you just breathed on us and we received the Holy Spirit. Why do we have to tarry in the city till the Holy Spirit comes when in John 20 you already breathed on us and he came? It's because John 20 is John 4, the well springing up. Luke 24 is John 7, the river about to flow out of your belly. How do you know that, Dan? It's very simple. Jesus is the redemption of man. He redeemed man back to original value. What was lost in the garden, Jesus restored. How did God make man in the beginning? And man became a living being. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Jesus' blood is now on the mercy seat. He's raised from the dead. Salvation has come to man. What's the first thing the Redeemer did? He took man back to day one into the garden and did a rebreath. And man became a living being. So, you get it? As if man never sinned. Do you get it? Why? Because of the power of his blood. We sing about it all the time. You ought to get it. Power of his blood. As if man never. So all of a sudden, God didn't come in a cloud. God didn't come in a mist, a wind. He came right inside. Why? Because of the blood. As if you never ate that tree, sir. As if you ever ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he came right back inside where he intended to be. You get it? So he breathed on him, receive Holy Spirit. So if he said receive Holy Spirit, do you think Holy Spirit came? Do you think something happened? But it's amazing in Luke 24, he said to tarry in the city till the Spirit comes upon you and induce you with power. He's talking about two different things. That was their born-again experience, John 20. Luke 24 and Acts 1, 2 is the baptism of Holy Spirit. So let's go there, Acts chapter 1. You guys with me? I'm making it so solid and clear because there's been so much teaching out there and there's actually been craziness on this topic. Even with the whole other tongues thing, we talked about it a little, and I'm going to make it real solid and clear because it's not some weird thing. Man, I've seen circles where people trying to get people to say syllables. I know a guy that said he was in a home group and they said, just say yabba dabba doo backwards a few times and you'll get it. It's not a joke. It's what he did. And I'm like, what? So it messes things up, see? And the devil would love to throw a monkey wrench into our belief system and our souls and build strongholds when something so precious and so powerful and so life-giving, he'd love us to get confused over it and fight over it. And then what we don't understand, we just draw back from or mock and scoff rather than enjoy the beauty thereof. You guys with me? Okay, Acts chapter 1, it says... Verse 4, and being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. This is Jesus. He told them to wait for the promise of the Father. This is out of Luke 24. This is the same thing you can find in Luke 24. He said, and Luke wrote the book of Acts, they believe, so traditionally. So it's the same revelation. He said, You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know times and seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. It's a whole other message. Watch this. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now remember, he already breathed into them and said, receive Holy Spirit. It's their born again experience. What happened was the Spirit of God came back inside of them, and the degenerate spirit, that dead thing, that darkness that was in man, came out and life came in. It's the regeneration of man, John 20. Life. Do you get it? It has to be. Because he just said, receive Holy Spirit in John 20, and here he is right after that saying, you'll receive the Holy Spirit when he comes, you'll receive power, and you're going to be a witness. He's talking about two separate things. John 4, John 7. Born again, river pouring out of belly. Okay? Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. That means people will see and know him through your life. That's what a witness is. To bear witness means to see and know through whatever's witnessing. All right? To me, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and all to the ends of the earth. Okay? Acts chapter 2. Look at this real quick. You guys know this. Verse 2. Suddenly, while they were there together in one accord, you know how Satan tries to bust that one accord thing up, right, in the church, right? That's why I was so strong last night about keeping peace here and getting amends. And if you have a little skirmish, settle it quickly. And don't let the sun go down on wrath, right? You don't give the devil place, and you're not unaware of his device. One accord's a big deal. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It was a rushing wind, and it filled the whole house and where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and it sat one sat upon each of them. Because he's coming to all, right? And they were all, watch, they were, now remember, John 20, receive Holy Spirit. But watch this. This is the baptism. They were all filled with the person of Holy Spirit. He'd come upon them to dwell in them and among them, right? And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So in this section, when you read more, you'll see that the other tongues, almost across the board, was them speaking the languages of all the men present from other places. That's what God did on that day so that the others could interpret and hear what they were magnifying God in and what they were saying, okay? So some of them started jesting right away. These men are drunk. Look, they're off their rocker. And then other men said, well, no, how is it? We hear them all speaking in our own languages. So that caught them, right? I was like, whoa. I was in Greensboro, North Carolina. Took a bunch of teens that were Methodist teens. They didn't even know that God would heal until God started healing in the little room we were in. Well, it was 200 some kids. It wasn't a real little room. And God did some miracles there in front of them. And then we took them into the malls to pray for the sick. And they are fresh babes. They don't even know up until now that God would even heal the sick. They go out into the mall. And this boy said, I feel I have a word for this Spanish lady over here that God's telling me to tell her something. And they went, oh my goodness, are you serious? And they said, yeah. So they run over to her and they go over, no English. No English. No English. They're like, ah. They said, hey, you know Spanish? No. Sir, you know Spanish, ma'am. You know, they ask a couple people, kids, you know, bold. No. Ah. So one kid gets this brainstorm. Tell you what, you've been hearing Pastor Dan, he's talking about faith and just proclaim things. Let's just at least speak the word over. God can bring it to pass. Whether she understands it or not, at least you deliver the word, you can speak it, and it can help the lady. And right? And I thought that was wise. I thought, whoa, way to go. He goes, okay. He speaks the word. She starts bawling, and they go, dude, you said you didn't know Spanish. He said, what are you talking about? He heard himself in English. She heard him in Spanish, and all his friends heard him in Spanish. And she's standing there bawling. See, unless you become like a little child, you'll by no means enter into the kingdom. See, everybody wants to get so sophisticated, but the root meaning of the word sophisticated is a lack of innocence. And when you lose your innocence, you lose your perception of the kingdom. And a little child is what? Innocent. Here's these teenagers. He spoke to the lady, and she heard him in Spanish. In his ears, it was English. In his friends, it was Spanish. I bet God can do that. I bet he knows every language. I bet they all came from his wisdom. That's phenomenal to me. That's one use of tongues. But I'll show you in a second another use of other tongues, just so there's no hang-ups on it. But on this day, the other tongues they spoke mainly was heard by the others in their own languages through several men, right? So here you see in Acts 2 that what Jesus said was definitely come and came. Right? Boom. He sat on how many of them? All of them. And they what? All started to speak in what? Other tongues, magnifying God. Okay. Go to Acts 8 with me real quick. Real quick. This would be good. Going to like this. In Acts 8, there was a dispersion of the believers because of the persecution and stuff, and Philip ended up in Samaria. And Samaria, it says all of Samaria believed, man. It is like this was a major harvest, man. And verse 12, look. When they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, all the men and women were baptized. So they were water baptized. They went to the water and got baptized. You'll find everywhere. I challenge you to do a little study in the Bible. Everywhere in the book of Acts, when men got saved, they were water baptized immediately. And water baptism was in the message of Christ. It was all a major part of the message. We've turned it into a prayer to go to heaven instead of a transformation. So baptism has slipped out of our church. Now it's an annual event at best. Why? Because we've made it all about blessing and heaven instead of transformation and change. Die to live. Baptism is die to live. These old boys, they didn't even speak Christ without water baptism. It was all in their message. That's another thing that Satan's thrown a monkey wrench in. So we fight over it. Well, is it in the name of Jesus? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, if it wasn't that, you weren't really baptized. Da, 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 da. Well, what do you say? If you're on a plane and you get saved and you don't get water baptized, you're going to hell? Come on, that is crazy. You know, all this stuff's out there, and men fight over this stuff. It just grieves my heart when it's so rock solid and sound. Okay, watch this. They were baptized, and then Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized and continued with Philip. He was a sorcerer that came and kind of challenged Philip, and all the people looked up to him, but Philip did all these powerful things, and the sorcerer was like, whoa, that's power. And he got born again. Now look at verse 14. Now this is amazing. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Do you guys know that they didn't take a train and they didn't jump in a minivan? Do you know that they usually walk? Do you know that where they were and where they went was approximately 35 to 50 miles? It was so important to them that when they heard they received Christ, guess what they did? They sent Peter and John to them. Why would they take a 35 to 50 mile trip? Because when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the... People say, well, you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Then why'd they have to go? People say, well, you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Then why'd they have to go? You get a born-again spirit. Life comes into your spirit. He breathes on you. Receive Holy Spirit. But watch this. That they might receive Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only, that's not making insignificant, the water baptism. It means there's something more. They had only been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them. Remember Acts 2? What happened in Acts 2? He just came, didn't he? In Acts 8, guess what they did? Now that they're filled with Holy Spirit. They realized none of them were filled with Holy Spirit. He hadn't come upon any of them yet. So they went 35 to 50 miles, probably on foot. It must be a pretty hot topic to the disciples to get endued with power and be a witness to the person of the Holy Spirit. They walked that far, laid hands on them, and look. When they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. So was he there to be received? Was he willing to come? And did he come? Absolutely yes in your Bible. True? This is a big deal. Bear with me. I know I'm teaching a lot, but I want you all to see this. And it's going to help some because there's so much diversity of belief out there on this stuff. Acts chapter 10, real quick. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Nobody laid hands on these folks. Holy Ghost just came while Peter was preaching. Pretty good sermon, huh? That was a pretty anointed sermon. He's preaching, Holy Ghost comes, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, because these men were Gentiles. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Isn't that amazing? Now look, and Peter said, look what's the first thing on Peter's mind. Can anybody forbid them water that they be baptized, since they've received the same Holy Spirit we have? So in this case, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit and prayed in tongues as they got saved. He just came, bam, they're praying in tongues. And Peter said, wow, they're born again. That's baptized in water, death, life. You get it? In Samaria, they got born again and got water baptized. He hadn't come upon them yet. So they said, hey, let's just pray for them. Holy Spirit, come, baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. He came. And they all magnify God and get empowered, witnesses, and in most cases, pray in tongues. In Acts 8, there's no evidence of that. It doesn't say that. It just says that Simon saw there was power when the apostles prayed. So we really don't know what manifestation was there. The only one in the Bible is usually other tongues. You follow me? Okay. So what happened here? Holy Spirit just came. Did anybody lay hands on him? Nope, he just came. Did they pray in tongues and magnify God? They got baptized in water. They're believers. Go to Acts 19 real quick. Well, actually, let me show you something real quick here. I should be able to find it quick. Okay, look at Acts 9 real quick. Excuse me. Verse 17. Acts 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. He's going to Paul. Remember, Paul got knocked off his horse? He was Saul and he was blind. And he didn't eat or drink or anything for 3 days. He was in the house, and Ananias got a vision from the Lord. So he goes to Paul, and he entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ah! It's everywhere. It's all over the place, right? So this was a big deal to Jesus. He sent a man to make sure it happened. It's undeniable. It's here. Let's go to Acts 19 and we'll be done with this part because it's so established. Then we'll look at one little aspect and then we're going to have a good time here together. It'll be fun. Acts 19. Now, I love this. This, to me, is a clincher. Like, you could just do Acts 8 and Acts 19, or Acts 10, and you could do any of these two, and it's solid, but I gave you all of them. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper regions, Acts 19, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, look what his question was. It wasn't, hey, how you guys doing? Hey, where are you heading? He saw disciples, which means probably culturally they were wearing something that indicated they were followers of something in their garments. Something that made them look like followers of something. Well, here it turns out these guys are still lingering disciples of John the Baptist. And all they know is his message. Somehow they missed the whole Jesus coming and raising from the dead. And they're still repenting and preparing the way in their hearts. And they're following John the Baptist. So Paul says what? He says, here's what he says when he sees them walking down the road. I think this is amazing. I picture these guys coming down the road and he's coming. He says, wow, they're followers or something. He says, hey, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? If he's automatic and he comes when you get saved, why is Paul asking the question? Why did Peter and John have to go to Samaria? Why would Ananias have to go lay hands on Paul? I've showed you 5 examples of baptism of the Holy Spirit. 2, he just came. 3, they laid hands. I woke up Sunday night I got saved. I was overwhelmed, went to bed crying. I knew my life would never be the same. I woke up Monday morning, I opened my eyes, I don't even know how much I slept. I was tossed, probably talking to God. I woke up and I'm just laying in my bed crying, praying in tongues, like loud and strong. Nobody was there. Oops, how do you get me out of this one? You know, how do you talk me out of this? You know, I'm laying in my bed. I'm praying in tongues and I'm like, this is God. You know what I'm saying? Just amazing. Nobody was there. Nobody touched me. Felt God just on me. It just felt like an empowering thing. My heart was strong. My mind was clear. And I'm just praying in tongues in my bed, crying, knowing my life will never be the same. And we'll talk about it in a second here about other tongues. So nobody laid hands on me. Nobody talked about it. Nobody told me it wasn't for today. Nobody told me nothing. He just baptized me in the Holy Spirit, just like he did Cornelius' household when I woke up in the morning. Isn't that sweet? Pretty intimate. Okay, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they said, watch, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul goes, whoa, where are these guys coming from? He said, into what then were you guys baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul says, oh, I get it. Man, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him to come, and that is on Jesus Christ. Well, then he obviously told them about Jesus, because it says when they heard this, because he said, look, guys, the one that John was talking about, it's already come. He's Jesus. He died. He rose again. He shared the gospel with them, obviously. They heard of Jesus. And watch, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. That's what? Water baptism. Watch. After they were water baptized, what happened? Paul laid his hands on them, and Holy Spirit came upon them. If he's automatic, why did Paul lay hands on them? And they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and about the men in all were 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm just about done. I'll make it as brief as I can. First Corinthians 14. Now you have to understand that in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's talking about other tongues quite a bit, and some of it is in your personal use, and some of it is in corporate settings. And 1 Corinthians, I think, 12 talks about the corporate setting a lot and how tongues comes into play. And if anybody's going to disrupt the atmosphere or speak out loud in an over-sounding way, then that tongue should be interpreted to bring it up to the same level of prophecy. Because what good would it do if I just walked the floor and I'd preach my whole sermon to you in tongues and you'd go, right? It wouldn't do any good, right? But what he's saying is if it's interpreted, it has the same weight of prophecy. So if anybody speaks in a congregation in tongues, meaning corporately, or has a microphone, or draws attention to what he's saying, or stops the music and prays loud in tongues, then it ought to be interpreted so everybody can benefit from what's being said. Follow? But for me to sit over here during worship, and you guys are all shouting loud and going bonkers like you do, because I like that. And it's loud, and I ain't disrupting anybody, I'm just standing here. You say, why would you do that? Let me show you why. It says, pursue love. See what's first? Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Why? Prophesy. The foretell. It reveals things. It just speaks into the hearts of men. If you just pray in tongues, it's a personal thing. Right? It's going to say this. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Well, that's a pretty big deal. I don't know why you wouldn't want that. Right? He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now watch this. This is a benefit of personal tongue. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That means builds himself up. There's an awareness in your spirit of God's spirit. When you're praying in tongues, you're aware that you're communing and communicating with God. Even if your mind doesn't understand, you're aware that your spirit is very active and very alive. You see what I'm saying? It's a big deal. It's a cool thing. I drive down the road and I just start praying in tongues. Nobody in the car but me and Jesus. He likes it. Sometimes after I pray in tongues, I get an understanding of what I was praying. Or I'll sing a little tune in tongues, and all of a sudden a little tune will come in my heart, and I'll sing it in English. It's so sweet. You get it? It's fun to me. What am I doing? I'm edifying myself. I'm staying spirit conscious. Staying mindful of the things of God. You see what I'm saying? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So, is he discounting tongues? He's saying, no, there's a personal place for it, but if it's in the church, make sure it's interpreted so it carries the weight of prophecy. Very simple. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So he just brought it on the same level. You get it? Now he talks about that and sounds and distinctions. And I don't need to go there. That doesn't have to do with what we're talking about today. Go to verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14. Watch. This is what I want you to see this morning. It says, for if I pray in tongues. If I pray. Who prays? If I pray. Some people get so weirded out about this other tongues thing and get strongholds in their soul. It's been mispreached. It's been misconceived. Talked about. He doesn't take your mouth and control you. It's not something, it's like a water faucet. I can pray in tongues anytime I want because the Spirit of God's in me and He'll never leave me. He's with me forever. Watch this. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What then is the conclusion of all this? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. How we ever come to the conclusion that this isn't for today, when Paul's walking in Acts 19, 30-some years into church history, and his first question is, did you receive him? Where did the line draw where you can't receive him all of a sudden? 30-some years into church history, the question in Paul's mouth when he saw some men was, hey, did you receive him? And they said, we don't even know who he is. We never heard. He said, oh my goodness. Laid hands on him and he came, didn't he? Now watch. So I will sing. So there's something about you being alone. There's something about you being in a bedroom. Father, I love you. I worship you and adore you. You are the living God. I honor you and worship you. There's something about it. It's just sweet. There's just something about praying while you're driving. Father, I thank you that you're causing men's hearts to see. God, I thank you for brother so-and-so and just the way his eyes are opening. God, I'm so excited about the move of your spirit. What's happening right now? My spirit enters in. I'm praying mysteries. Who knows if it's from the Spirit, it's by the Spirit, it's of the Spirit. It's all in agreement with God. Don't be afraid of it. Pray, man. It's divine mysteries and you're speaking to God. That's probably safer than some folks just praying in their intellect. Are you following me? Do you see how rock solid this is? Look, I didn't show you two scriptures that are questionable. I just took a lot of time and showed you how many scriptures. So here's the deal. Is the worship team available? Are they up there? Man, I'm going to need them guys to even just play soft or something on a guitar for me or something. It's going to be a fun time. So look, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with my understanding, I will sing in the Spirit, I will sing with my understanding. Go to Luke 11 and we're done. It's the last verse. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. This is amazing. Watch. I've heard this since I've been saved. I've heard this so much that, well, Dan, you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. When you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. I just showed you that that's not always the case. Not just one place. I showed you that about four places. Now I'm going to show it to you one more. At least three places. This is probably four. If then you being evil, that means evil nature. We being evil nature, we have the ability to think evil, do evil, especially before Christ, before our hearts were changed, right? Know how to give good gifts to your children. Watch. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to who? To those who what? If he's automatic, why would you ever have to ask? Come on. I read this book, and it makes a lot of sense to my heart. If you, being of evil nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father will give who? The Holy Spirit to them that ask. Here's what I'd like to do today, because I believe the Lord would like to do it. That's why I ran up my pastor, and he felt like it was a good way to seal up the last time of me being here with Spirit Temple since I had the honor of pouring out my heart like a madman the last couple of days. What a good exclamation. What I want to do, if you, now here's the deal. Some people say, well, I've never prayed in tongues. Praying in tongues is not what the issue is, right? Understanding that God wants to do you with power and make you a witness to the person of the Holy Spirit, that you by faith are open up your heart to receive the Holy Spirit is what he's doing right now. So if you ask for the Holy Spirit, will he come? Did you just read that? So what's the percentage of Holy Spirit coming when a man asks? Good deal. Pastor Mark Rock. That's true. It's not like, well, I don't know if I received him. Well, I didn't pray in tongues. I've seen people get so caught up with other tongues that they get so soulically bound. And then they're, I don't want to make up words. I'm afraid I'm going to pray. But I'll tell you what, God's grace is so good. It's a river. It comes up out of you. It just, he'll get big in you. I've had people, we prayed for baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're like, they're so conscious of what they're saying or not saying, and they're thinking, am I making this up? And they don't pray in tongues, and I just laugh, and I say, listen, you receive Holy Spirit the same way you're born again. Now let me ask you this. Are you born again? So when Jesus comes, are you on his side? Are you going to spend eternity in heaven? How do you know that? How can you be so sure to look at me and tell me that? How do you know? Good answer. She said, his spirit bears witness to my spirit. What she's saying is, I just know. How do you know? Because you ask him to forgive you. You ask him to save you. You told him you didn't want to live for you anymore. You pleaded your case and released your faith, and you're trusting he received it. And at some point, your heart develops this knowing that I'm his. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? You just ask him to come and say, I want you, Father, to baptize me in the beautiful, wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. Empower me to be a witness. Baptize me with this wonderful Holy Spirit and fire. And guess what the answer always is from God? It's yes. If you're always looking for a manifestation, if you're always looking for filling, there was no manifestation described in Acts 8. The only one the Bible ever reveals is praying in tongues. I've seen countless people get baptized in the Holy Spirit praying in tongues. I've seen people get baptized and they didn't pray in tongues. I've had them drive home in the car, thing wells up in them, they feel like they're being something. They're like, man, I felt like I was going to explode inside. I parked the car and cried and prayed in other tongues in the car. They got away from everybody there. I had one man call me at night, late at night, on a phone. I had prayed with him in the yard at the house for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He called me and he said, Dan, I can't sleep. I woke up, I feel like all these words are running through my mind. It's just all these words, and I'm afraid to speak them. I don't want to be deceived. I said, what are you talking about? I said, what's going on? He said, my belly, it feels like it's going to float. I said, pray, man. He said, shut up, no, no, no. He just started praying like crazy on the phone. I'm thinking, this guy's just, I'm like, pray, man. I worked with the guy, and he said, listen, man, I've been taught strong against the baptism of the Holy Spirit my whole life. I've been taught by my pastors it's not for today, that it's a doctrine of heresy and demons and da-da-da. And I'm like, you're kidding. I mean, that's really tragic, because then a man can't even enter in. He can't even, you know. But here's what happened to this guy. You'll like this. He saw my everyday life. He saw I wasn't a demonic man. He saw that my nature, he actually envied my personality, my disposition, my steadfastness. He came to me and cried and said, you're like the most real Christian I've ever met in my life. And he said, there's nothing demonic about you. And I'm concerned because I've been taught this and this. And the things you believe and say and speak are the things I've been taught aren't for today. And yet I see them in your life. So you want the testimony of your life, not the argument of your doctrine. And I said, well, here's the deal. You go home and you ask Jesus what's real. And you say, God, what do you want for me? Because if this baptism of the Holy Spirit is scriptural and it's Christian and it's for me, then I want it. And if it's not, I don't want an experience. I don't want it. But if it is from you, I've been told different things. I'm telling you, I want what you want for me. I said, you go kneel at your bedroom and you talk to God like that. Nobody was there to lay hands on. He knelt down and barely started to talk because God already knew his heart cry. And the power of God came over him and he cried and prayed in tongues and couldn't stop for like 45 minutes to an hour. He came to work overwhelmed, grabbed me and squeezed me, and he said, I feel so alive inside. He said, he came upon me, and I said, ah! Isn't that awesome? See, you stir your heart up in this stuff, or life's just going to keep eating your lunch and traffic and bills and people. Holy Spirit changes all that, man. People that don't know Holy Spirit, I've found people that don't know Holy Spirit are letting life lead them more than they realize it in them. People that know Holy Spirit are being led by Him. It just makes sense. And it's kind of like a marriage, okay? These guys are married. But it wasn't always that way. There was a time when they just first saw one another and first met one another. Right? And you said, whoa, amazing. That's going to be my man. No. Well, she did, man. No, here's my point. You got to first saw one another, and somehow, somewhere, however it worked, your story, you conversed for the first time. You connected a little, and at some point, it just got more than that, and you got to know more. And next thing you know, you're like together and you're growing to know one another. Next thing you know, you're aiming at this thing called marriage, and here you are in covenant, you got children, and it wasn't always like that. You know this girl, but you didn't always know her. There was a day where she just came into your life. Yeah? Now you know her, man. Yeah. Just how many arms, that's all over. That's just how it is with Jesus. That's just how it is with Holy Spirit. And if you've never been baptized in Him and you've never been filled with Holy Spirit to where you know that you've asked Him to come and fill your life, you say, well, Dan, I don't need to do it here. I can just go do it in my dorm. Yes, you can. But you can do it here, and I'm inviting you to do it here. And we'll just, I'm not even sure how we'll do this, but we'll probably lay hands on a few folks. I'll decide what needs to be done there and let Mark help me with that pastor. But I'll tell you one thing. If you come up here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never had the evidence of praying in tongues, don't let the tongues be the issue. Make sure you know by faith you're receiving Him, and you can mark a moment where you said, I want you in my life. Come and baptize me in your Spirit, God, and make me a witness and empower me. I promise you, He will come. And when I have altar calls like this, most of the time, people would explode if they try to hold back other tongues because He's coming. He's just coming, man. I don't know how to tell you. You'll understand when you get up here. Because He's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming. So, if you've never prayed in tongues, and you've always wanted to, and you felt like it was a problem, a stronghold, and you had trouble, and now would be a good time to walk up here. You might believe Holy Spirit's in your life and you're baptized. That's awesome. But if you've never prayed in tongues, just walk up here and say, you know what, Lord, I've just given you my heart, my life. I'm just going to let you. I want the gift of other tongues because I want to speak mysteries to you. I want to pray to you in the Spirit and in my understanding. I want to sing to you in the Spirit. I want to sing to you with my understanding. I want everything that you have for me. But if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've never asked Him to empower you and endue you, I need you up here. Come on up here. Anybody that has never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never prayed in tongues, and you can't mark a day where He empowered you to be a witness. Come on up here. Anybody that needs this, that wants this, come up here. There's three times the amount of people that I'm seeing. I promise you, I don't know why you'd sit in your chair. Just come on up here. We're going to pray. We're going to receive Him. Thanks, Lord. Just look to Him, girls. Look to Him, guys. Just thank Him right now that He wants the kingdom of God to come upon you. He's not holding anything back. There's like, man, there's like 12 or 15 people out there you've never prayed in tongues. It's 15. It's like 15 people. You've never prayed in tongues. For some reason, you're nervous about coming up here. You haven't been nervous all week. Don't get nervous now. Come on up here and receive the beauty of the person of the Holy Spirit, please. Come on up here if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Papa. Come on up, guys. I'm waiting just a little. Hey! Jesus. Thank you, God. Yeah, just start to worship Him. I'm telling you what, He'll come upon you while you're standing here. Then just lift your hands to Him and say, Father, I want the person of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Endue me with power. I want the gift of other tongues. I want the manifestation of your person and your presence. Holy Spirit, come. You said, if I ask, I'll receive. Father, I thank you right now for filling every person. In Jesus' name. Man, if you need to get up here, run up here quickly. Please. Holy Spirit, come. Nobody can make you pray in tongues. I won't try to make you. I'm telling you, that'll come up in your belly as you put your eyes on Him. Yeah, come on, guys. I don't know why you'd wait. Come on. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come upon your people. When you get up here, ask Him to baptize you right now in the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Father, give me the person and power of the Holy Spirit. That's good. Just release right now, God, the gift of other tongues, and let it flow out of them like a river, out of their belly. Let them speak, God, with Jesus' name. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's good, Miss Kim. Receive Him. Receive Him. Receive Him. No, that's good. That's good. Just let it flow, girl. Come right up out of you. God, you love me. Jesus, you're amazing. I worship you. Thanks for loving me, God. Thanks for filling me with who you are. That's the presence of Jesus. And that's the person of the Holy Ghost. He's always with you, Kim. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll speak to you in the quiet. He'll speak to you in the secret. When you've got questions, He's got answers. I'm telling you, He's your best friend. You think you've got friends, but you've just met your best one. And He is Holy Spirit. Yeah. Get her, go. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her. Say, Holy Spirit, come. I receive you to be a witness. Yeah. Tongues even be loose today. Holy Ghost, come. That's all right. That's okay, honey. Oh, God. Just stand there and get Him. He's coming on under. He's going to be in you and among you. Yeah, that's good. Just pray that out right there. I hear those words. It just flow. Let them flow like a river. Yeah, more, more. Let it flow. Isn't that amazing? Come on. You can turn your prayer language on. You can turn it off, but He'll never go. Pastor Mark, just come up and just touch a few men and just pray with me. Any other leaders that you'd want to come up here, you can call them up. I don't know who you'd want up here, but in Jesus' name, receive Him. Yeah, empowered to be a witness. He loves you. He's your friend. Yeah. Now up out of your belly. Up out of your belly. With another tongue, He'll speak through you. Divine mysteries, your spirit will pray. Won't sound anything like me. It's your own language. Holy Spirit, come upon your children. So good. So good. You know, He doesn't only bring you power, He brings you peace. He brings you comfort. He brings you wisdom. And He makes you a witness. You know, I feel like you said in your heart many times, oh, how I want to shine. I want to shine. I want to beat the odds. I almost hear that phrase. I want to beat the odds. And I want to shine. And I just see the Lord giving you the sweetness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a precious way where someone would almost envy what you're carrying. You feel like, man, nobody would have envied anything in my life. But God says, I'm here to change all that. I'll make them envy me in you. Holy Spirit, come right now upon her. Holy Spirit, come. More, more. Yeah, empowered to be a witness, lacking nothing. Yeah, and And even tongues, don't be afraid of it. It's inside of you. When you pray, your spirit prays. He gives you the utterance. He gives you the syllables. You just speak them out of your heart, out of your mouth, out of your belly. Just stand there and let Him love on you. And as that wells up, I'm telling you, just pray that out. That's no flaw to you. I'm not going to make you say nothing. That's in you. I see it's in you. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name. There you go, man. You ain't never prayed in tongues before? Sure. Go ahead, man. Pray it. Pray it. Give me that. Where's that microphone at? That handheld. Shade of a car. Grab me that, Sandra. Shade of a corset. Shade of a casa. Shade of a corset. Pray, man. Come on. Somebody get that for me. Come on, man. It feels right, doesn't it? Feels good inside, huh? Fire of God, get him! Fire of God! Fill him! And flood him! Just be a witness. Jesus, come. Touch the kids. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. Baptize, Holy Spirit and fire. Say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Baptize me, Father, in the power and the person of Holy Spirit. I receive you. Thank you, God. Now, Father, I thank you. That's good. Holy Ghost, come. Man, that's good. You feel Him filling you on the inside. I feel that. There's just a strength coming into you. And I hear this. It's like a fullness. God's going to mark you with a fullness. Where I almost feel like as good as your heart's doing, like He's got your attention and you want to do right and stuff. I almost feel like you felt like something's been missing or something's just not been complete. But God's saying, son, I'm putting a fullness in you. Where you're going to see you're a house with no empty rooms. There's no room for nothing. I'm putting a no vacancy sign over you. There's nothing that can move in because I've come in. I've set up camp and I ain't moving out. I've set up camp inside of you. I put a no vacancy sign over your head. There's no room for anything but me, says the Lord. Yes. Just thank Him right now. Just thank Him right now. Just thank Him. Just pray, guys, to God. Even in your understanding, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid of it. Let it flow like a river, man. Baptize Him in the Holy Spirit. Baptize Him in the Holy Spirit and power. Even let the ears hear today, God. Let the day be the day the ears hear, God. Ears hear in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Shena mananesi ando besi asode. Shono mananesi anamana ne na yesa rabasea. Holy Spirit come. Shena mananesi ararabopi asondeha. Hili anamana ne na mananosi ando be. Yando besi anamahase. Shena mananea. For I hear the Lord say, I'm putting songs in your heart. Songs between you and me, little melodies, yes, you'll see. They'll come all the time and they'll flow. Won't you see? Yes, I'm singing in you. I'm singing to you, and you'll be singing to me, says the Lord, in a secret place, even quiet on your bed. These songs are just gonna flow. Catchy little melodies that are gonna reveal my love to you, my grace to you, your righteousness. Shondia no messi ando bossia, shinda mana messi ando bossia. Hallelujah. Oh, songs rising up, songs being sung to me, says the Lord. I'll give them to you one after the other. It's just going to be merry melody in your heart unto the Lord. And you would say, who, me? And I say, yes, you. I love you, son. Shodiano mano nesianda bakase. Shida da 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 bakasande. Ananamananea. Oriasondea. Bless them, God. Fill them. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Power of God, come. The person and power of Holy Spirit. Fill them. Fill them. Now talk to him. Don't just stand quiet. You don't have to make up no tongues, but talk to him in English. Tell him he's amazing. Receive, Holy Spirit. Say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. I receive you. I worship you and honor you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Talk to him. I welcome you. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Power of God, come upon this man and make him a witness. Yeah, it's good. Let it flow, God, like a river right out of his belly. That's good, man. Just let it come up and out of you. It'll be your own. It'll be your own language. It'll be your own. Man, it's your own personal communion and prayer with God, speaking mysteries by the Spirit. Yeah, it's good. That's awesome. Turn that mic up, man, can you? There's a whole bunch of folks up here praying. Everyone's like, I just want to let y'all hear it, man. It's just good. Listen to this guy, man. It's their own language, man. Everybody's sounding different. But when they pray, their spirit prayeth, and they speak mysteries unto God. Man, you build up yourself. You edify yourself. And it reveals that he's in you. Hey, God. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah. Empowered to be a witness. Empowered to be a witness. Man, this isn't a correction. I don't know you, but really well. We talked a little bit about your praying for you the other night, but I hear the Lord say, man, I'm doing a good thing in you, and man, I'm just going to take a risk and say this. It's not a bad thing. I see that you've had years of your thinker. You've felt a lot, and there's a lot of skepticism, a lot of stuff. And God said, man, I'm taking you past that. Don't think you're just an analytical man. You're not called to be that. I'm not going to let your thinking get in the way of your heart towards me. Because I've seen your heart towards me, says the Lord. And I'm doing a work in the way you think and process. And don't call yourself an unbeliever in areas or a skeptic in areas. You're not a skeptic. You're drawing near to me. You're coming after me. And I'm here to open up your heart and open up your standing and father you. I love you and I know what's going on inside of you. Don't weigh yourself short, because I don't weigh you short in one thing. In fact, I feel like sometimes you've been your own worst judge and your own critic. And God says, I didn't call you to criticize yourself. I called you to see who I see you to be. And I'm raising you up to be my son, and all will see that you know who you've become. I'm empowering you. I'm anointing you. You receive it, and you just keep saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My days of thinking and overthinking and thinking too much are over. I am not a skeptic. My heart desires you, Lord, and I stand with my heart and I rejoice. That's what I hear for you from the Lord. And I hear the Lord putting an increased sense of God reality and an increased sense of knowing him into your life. Holy Spirit, come and empower him to be that witness. And you just welcome him. You just thank him that he's on you right now. He'll never leave. That he's with you. So I introduce you to your new best friend. His name is Holy Spirit. He's here to love you forever, man. Your new best friend, Holy Spirit. Yeah, your new best friend, man. Your new best friend. You know, I see way back in your late teens and even in your 20s, I see that friendship was a hard thing to find, and you didn't even think there was a thing as friendship. You actually thought that every man was for himself, and you had people close to you because it benefited you in seasons. But you were a kind of guy that thought you didn't have friends and didn't want to have friends. You had a lot of acquaintances, but you kept yourself guarded because you felt you had figured men out when you were in your 20s. By the time you were 25, you thought you had this thing all figured out. And it tried to harden you, and it tried to make you go certain directions, and it caused you to be certain things. But I hear the Lord saying, you're wrong. You were wrong in that season. Not that you were wrong in the sense of just wrong, but you saw it wrong. Because I am your friend, says the Lord. And you don't ever have to be afraid of me. You don't ever have to be afraid of me breaking the trust that you have in me and my trust towards you. I love you. I have never left you. I have never forsook you. And I have never changed my mind about you. And I'm here to boldly say as the living God that I am the one that is designed to be your best friend. And there is a such thing as a best friend, and his name is Holy Spirit. And today I have sent him to empower you, to live in you, and to dwell with you. So talk to him often, get close to him, and know that this is a living relationship that will grow more and more. And even now, I'm changing your eyes towards men. People aren't to be distrusted. People are to be loved, and I'm going to give you the grace to speak life into them and see the value they possess. That thing that tried to destroy you at an early age and harden your heart, I'm going to work it to my good and glory, says the Lord, and I'm going to change your view of people through and through, and you're going to see what I've been seeing all along. My, I'm excited about you. I'm so blessed that you've come to me, and I'm excited that you've surrendered your heart to me. I'm going to begin to work with you and mature you and grow you, and I promise you, I'm putting my eyes inside of your eyes, even as I'm putting my heart inside of your heart, says the Lord. God, we worship you. Lift your hands, guys. You guys that came up here, say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. We're forever friends. Keep me mindful of you. If I seem to forget you, remind me you're here. I want to know you more and more. Empower me to be a witness. Show me God's love. And make me look more like Jesus. I receive you, best friend. Thank you for your wisdom. Amen. 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 Come on, guys, give him a shout. Yeah! Pastor Mark, I want you to just close this out, whatever you want to do, buddy. Pray over your guys, your girls, just do whatever you want to do. You're the pastor, whatever's fit. In Jesus' name. God, good.